superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome back. It's the Rich Eisen Show basketball podcast here on a Wednesday. We are in July, July 20th. Brockman's here with the guys, TJ and Adam. Fellas, what's happening?
What's going on, Brockman?
What's cracking? What's crackin'?
Hey, it's great to see you guys. You know, there's not a lot of NBA stuff kind of going on right now, so we're just going to kind of bang out a quick pod and talk about a few things that have kind of been on my mind, our minds, collective minds, here in the basketball world. I saw this today, and let's talk about this first before we get to LeBron at the Drew League, which I want to talk about too. It's the anniversary 1 year ago today because of the way the season worked the last couple of years in the NBA. It's been weird with COVID and then the shortened season. The Bucks won the title a year ago today. Milwaukee closed out Phoenix, winning four straight after being down 0-2 last year, if you guys remember. Seems like forever ago, but only 1 year. And Giannis threw up one of the greatest closeout games maybe in NBA history. 50 points. 50, 14, 5 blocks. He was 17 of 19 from the foul line. And then that kicked off kind of the epic Bucks celebration with P.J. Tucker and the giant bottle of Ace of Spades and Giannis going to Chick-fil-A and getting the 50-piece nuggets for the 50 points he scored. Didn't we try to recreate that, TJ, because Ben Lyons was hosting last year?
And we went, and well, you said you were going to buy Chick-fil-A for everybody, and
that's how I thought it was. That's not what I said. Because,
let me ask you something, Adam. If we're talking about Giannis Chick-fil-A, right, and somebody goes, somebody goes, hey, I'm going to get that tomorrow and bring it in, right? When I say that to you, is your first inclination to assume that that person's going to bring it for everybody?
Obviously.
That's what
you're just teasing people with
okay.
that.
Okay, so 60-piece McNuggets.
Maybe I screwed that in.
I come in.
50. It was 50.
50. 50, 50. I look on Brockman's desk. He's got a 50-piece McNugget
in front of him. I don't think I actually got 50. I think I got 30.
Well, there were a ton.
There were a lot.
I look at Ben. He doesn't have any. I don't have. I was like, did you bring for everybody? He goes, no, I bought them for myself. I was like, that's not how you made it seem. You made it seem. Otherwise, right. I would have went myself.
You're right. You know? You're right. But then I did get the Sprite half lemonade.
Yes.
All right. In hindsight,
you said it was bad, actually, remember?
I kind of liked it. I don't know. In hindsight, I screwed that up. I should have brought enough nuggets for everybody. I apologize.
I brought some nuggets for everybody.
My apology?
I mean, yeah, it was. If I were just to make a list of the things that you've done that's making me scratch
that's
your head, that would
true.
Be high on the list, but not number one. So it's fine.
I just want to talk about this Bucks title a year later.
Let's do it.
Because a few of my friends are Bucks fans, and they were talking about it this morning, and I really started to look at it. And then I think for me, it's the 50 points doesn't happen every day in the NBA Finals. I mean, we'd have to look. I don't know how many times it's happened. Had to have been just a handful. But when I think about Giannis, and especially last year and what he was going through at the foul line during the playoffs, the 17 of 19 was just, in hindsight, that is just so ridiculous and crazy when I think about him as a player and where he was. Remember last year, the fans were counting down how many seconds between shots. They were telling teams to stop doing the countdowns on isn't it against Brooklyn, they were putting the numbers on the thing, and they were counting down.
I think so.
I just think, and hit it, you know, we look back on this. This is going to age so well when Giannis finishes his career. How great he was in the NBA Finals.
I mean, I wasn't alive for Magic Johnson's 1980 closeout performance. But I saw pretty much every Michael Jordan championship final. I've seen Shaq. I've seen LeBron. And, you know, I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan in the world, but that Giannis closeout performance was the greatest closeout performance I've ever seen.
Yeah.
By far. It was so incredible. He just took it over. He said, we are not losing this game. And like you said, the free throws was the ultimate shocker, because Shaq was a bad free throw shooter, and he would be pretty clutch when it mattered also, but not 17 for 19.
Right.
That is just unheard of. And it changed the narrative on Giannis, because before that finals, there were a lot of pundits, a lot of people saying that Giannis is a guy that's a great player, but you can't win a championship with him. That was a narrative, that he's not going to win a championship, and that the team surrounding him wasn't good enough to win a championship. And he shut down that narrative with one of the greatest finals performances ever, not only in that game, but just overall in the series. So it was truly unbelievable to watch, and Giannis went to another level in that series.
The other thing too, TJ, about it is he had that really weird, awkward injury against Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals. Remember, he fell funny and he kind of hyperextended his knee.
Oh yeah.
And everyone was like, mm-hmm. Oh my God. Giannis just blew out his knee. He's out for the playoffs. He's going to miss basically all of next season. And this guy who is becoming, like you just said, Superman kind of before our eyes in this playoffs, because he really had a dominant playoff. I mean, his numbers against Brooklyn the series before in the second round were just ridiculous. 6 out of 7 games over 33, you know, over 30 points. And then he's miraculously only out 2 games against the Hawks. And then somehow plays in the NBA Finals game 1, scores 20 points, and then afterward goes 42, 41, 26, 32, and 50 as they come back. It was just unbelievable, TJ.
What's crazier about that is at halftime, you know how many points he had?
At halftime? Yeah. Oh, I haven't looked at the actual box score yet, no.
He had 17 at halftime.
At halftime?
And he finished with 50.
Wow.
Second half. Okay. Like, he had 7 points in the second quarter. He was 3 of 5. Not bad. That's, you know, awesome. He had 10 in the first.
That's awesome.
You know, what was he shooting in the first? 3 of 5. So he was fairly consistent, but nothing going into halftime that would have given you any indication of what was coming, you know?
That's amazing. And oh yeah, looking at the line score now. So Milwaukee had a huge lead, 29-16, and then Phoenix was actually up at halftime. They scored 31. They outscored Milwaukee 31-13 in the second quarter. And then just Giannis just absolutely took over the second half. And you think someone puts up a 50-piece, right? They score. The team scores, what, 125, 130, something like that, especially in kind of today's NBA where scores are outrageous. The Bucks only scored 105 points. He had half the points.
That is.
In a closeout game.
Unreal.
To win the finals.
The Bucks. The Milwaukee Bucks, in the closeout game of the finals, played 8 players. 5 of them scored.
That's it.
5. And not even one of their starters. Okay. They had 16 off the bench with Bobby Portis. P.J. Tucker didn't score. Giannis had 50. Lopez had 10. Middleton had 17. Holiday had 12. Portis had 16. That is the whole entire 105 points that were scored by them.
That's tremendous.
If you said a team would win a game with only 5 players scoring, I'd say you're crazy. That never happens.
Never happens.
And it happened in the biggest game of Giannis's career.
In the biggest game of their life.
And Jeff Teague only played a minute 43, but still. You know.
And just think about now the narrative on Giannis is what? I mean,
no narrative, Chris.
No, I just went, I'm talking about now that this happened. So winning a championship and doing what he did during the playoffs last year, also coming off back-to-back MVPs, and then now he wins a finals MVP with that type of finishing performance now. Mm-hmm. I mean, I came in the next day and was like, he's going to be better than Hakeem. You know what I mean? Like, all of a sudden, that's now the narrative on this guy, that he could suddenly be a top, what, eight player all time, maybe, when his career is over?
How did Akeem get brought into this? Like, Akeem's a center. Giannis is a power forward. Like, well, it's just like, man, it just seemed like random to pick, of all people, just Akeem.
I was looking at guys who we consider, you know, top 10 all time. Okay. Akeem's kind of in there. Two championships. And
greatest defender of all time, arguably.
And which is what Giannis might be. I mean, you could make the case Giannis should win Defensive Player of the Year every year. The guy wakes up and has 12 rebounds and three blocks. I just think, you know, it's the year anniversary, and now we're talking about this guy as, you know, who could suddenly be somehow an all-time great. And I think that's fair. I love Giannis. He's one of my favorite non-Celtic players in the league right now. It's without question. I love the guy.
He's incredibly likable. He came from nothing. He came from selling trinkets on the street in Greece.
Yeah.
Had no money, had nothing. Nobody even really knew about him except for advanced scouts. He seemingly came out of nowhere. He's one of the greatest stories in NBA history, and he's so likable. He's friendly. He's outgoing. He's got a cool family. He's got two other brothers in the NBA.
Who are probably, let's be honest, only in the NBA because their brother's Giannis.
Yeah, but, I mean.
Maybe.
Good for them.
But, and then, by the way, I'm totally okay with that. Especially, like his brother Thanasis, who's on the Bucks with him. Mm-hmm. Just keep him on the team. He should be a lifetime Buck.
Oh, yeah.
As long as Giannis is on the Bucks, Thanasis has to be on the Bucks.
One of the two of them is going to have a job. Forever.
Forever.
Yeah.
We need to get Kostas on there, too. Let's get them all three together.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if Giannis had that in his contract. He's like, you want to sign me? And
I need at least one of my brothers.
I need one of the Antetokounmpos on my team.
I realize we're going to run out of letters for the jerseys if they're both on the team, so one of them at least. There's only so many A's that they have, Chris.
A cool just like sports family. Like you said, his life is now a Disney movie. Mm-hmm. Like it's just amazing. If you don't like Giannis, it's definitely a YP. That's a you problem.
And also, if you guys want to watch, there's videos of Giannis when he first was on the Bucks, and he was new to America. So there's like a video where he tries a smoothie for the first time, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
He's talking about how much he loves smoothies. So, like, watching his earlier videos are great because you see a guy that's not accustomed to the American culture just learn all these new things. So it's fascinating to watch. He's like a kid at that point.
Doesn't he have an Oreo thing, too? He, like, loves Oreos.
Yeah, we talked about that before. I was watching the video. He had two huge glass containers in his living room, and his wife's recording him. And this man, he had to have had a minimum of six packets of Oreos, and he's just putting the pack. It was weird. He's taking them out of the Oreo pack and putting them in a glass bowl, and his wife is like, what are you doing? She's like, where are you going to put these? And he's like, in the basement. Like, and she's like, who's going to eat all these? He's like, me and my son. Like, and you could tell, like, he was just kind of over her. She'd probably been getting on him about all these Oreos, and he was just like, fine, I'm going to put them in a bowl, and I'm going to take them down the basement, and me and my son are going to eat them. Leave us alone.
Which is totally relatable. Like, you know what I mean? He's just so awesome.
Look, man, doesn't matter how many points you score in the closing game of an NBA championship. When you go home and you got a wife, that goes out the door. All right.
One other famous story? He was like, it was like raining or something, and he was
a rookie,
in his
I believe.
Full uniform as a rookie, and he was trying to get to the stadium. Not,
I don't
and
know
someone
if it was
gave
his
him
full,
a ride.
What he did was he would take his money and he would send it home to his family.
Oh, right, he didn't have enough
but
money for a
ride.
But
then he realized that, like, I guess wire transferred at Western Union. He sent all the money and realized I can't get to the stadium. So he started to walk and jog, and he's maybe a mile away from the stadium. Somebody looks over and goes, doesn't he play for the Bucks? And they gave him a ride to because he couldn't even, he didn't have enough money to get a cab. Like, he sent all his money home.
That's incredible. I love Giannis. And
Giannis
is
very
likable.
It's
the 1 year anniversary of the Bucks title. So just wanted to give him a quick shout out and just think about how far we've come in a year. In the NBA and all the storylines that we were talking about last year and last offseason and the season started. And now here we are a year later and Steph Curry has his fourth NBA title. And we're talking about him as a top 10 player all time as he gets ready to host the ESPYs tonight in Los Angeles. It's just kind of fun to think about. Other fun things that was going on kind of recently. LeBron is back on the court. Adam, he showed up at the Drew League, which I think a lot of people don't even really know what it is. They just kind of hear it thrown out as, something that happens in the summer in L.A., and that's what it is. It's kind of a summer league.
Yeah.
And pros kind of pop in now and then, guys who are L.A.-based. You see James Harden's played and DeMar DeRozan played with LeBron. I know, Jamal Crawford, he's popped in there now and then, right?
think
that's true.
So.
Back in the day,
he did a lot of Seattle summer.
Seattle stuff. Yeah. But what are your thoughts on seeing LeBron row out there? It seems like he had a nice game, even though they only won by two, which is something that I think only I care about. What'd you think about that? You saw LeBron. Kyrie is supposed to play, and then no showed.
Of course, are we reading anything
into what went down at the Drew League over the weekend?
No, he's probably the most flaky person in the world, Kyrie. Like, if you have plans of Kyrie, like, just expect him not to come. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's like that one.
I like Kyrie, but
that
like,
one friend that you have, you just invite him to the party anyway, just because you know he's not going
to
show up.
Oh yeah, or the person that you invite to the wedding just for the gift because you know they're not going to come.
Right.
But yeah, no, I think it's super dope that LeBron did the Drew League because he's the biggest superstar in the world, I think, in sports right now, and he has been for years. And the fact that he was doing a pro-am league where it's in a high school gym. It's such a small gym. It's a legendary venue in terms of the Drew League. But the fact that, like, a lot of these people, it's in the hood, so a lot of these people can't afford to go to Staples Center or whatever, Crypto, and see LeBron that close. Those seats would be thousands of dollars at Crypto. And the fact that that he went there and these people were able to see LeBron up close and personal, the closest they'll ever get to him, that's just so dope. And the fact that, you know, he had some great highlights. So, like, he provided them a show.
Really? LeBron had great highlights playing basketball against non-NBA players.
You're an asshole, TJ.
But you never know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, you never know what's going to happen.
Just done jump shots or, you know what I mean? Just, like, kind of just played casually. But, like, he was playing. And the fact that also DeRozan was on his team, they provided a show. So I just think it's dope that he decided to do that and gave back to the community.
You've lived here longer than we have, TJ. Have you ever rolled over to the Drew League?
I've never been to the Drew League, man. And there's been so many summers where I'd be like, man, because normally I'm always late with stuff, right? Mm. Like, I'll hear about it after it happens. Right. Like, I never see concerts. All of a sudden, I'll hear, oh, you know Jay-Z was at Hollywood Bowl last night? Wait, what? Like, oh, you know Chappelle was at the Comedy Store? Like, no.
Yeah.
So I usually only hear about these big Drew League games, like, after they're already done. This was the first time in years I can remember. I remember one year I knew Jamal Crawford was going to play and a friend of mine were going to go and we didn't. But I didn't know about this, but I didn't go. I've never been to Drew League, but I hear all the story. And the crazy thing is I'm not that far from the Drew League and I still have never been.
Yeah, I guess what Chris Haynes had the report or Yahoo had it that like LeBron's going to play tomorrow in the Drew League.
And just imagine this.
Kyrie also expected to play, and you're like, whoa.
Imagine you're in the Drew League, and you're feeling good. You got a game tonight.
You know,
you're just getting off. You're working at FedEx or UPS or Target or the Rich Eisen Show.
And these are good players, too.
Good players.
I'm sure a lot of them played college or small college.
Well, by the way, I doubt you're getting in that league if you didn't at least play college.
Right.
And then you go, all right, we're going to smash this team tonight. And then, oh, by the way, the ringer's showing up. It's DeMar DeRozan. Oh,
dang it, DeMar.
Okay.
Ah, shoot.
Oh, wait a minute. There's one more. James? James who? Oh, no, that's LeBron James.
You see L. James on the roster. Yeah. You're like, wait, what?
You're like, oh, my God.
You have a nervous breakdown?
There were some funny tweets going around of, like, some dude just, like, finished his shift, and then he's got to wake up and thinking he's going to have a great game, and you realize you have to guard LeBron. And you're like, what?
I was reading the retweets from one guy. I mean, this tells you, man, people will dig in the crates for anything.
Oh, the dude from like 8 years ago?
Yeah. Who had been, over the years, trash-talking LeBron on Twitter. Like, LeBron's not clutch, and he's not the king or the GOAT. And then he was on the other team that game.
Oh,
and so he ended up guarding LeBron. Yeah. And it got cooked, of course, because that's...
Yeah, of course. LeBron had, what, 42 or something?
You're going to get cooked if you're playing it. But it's just like, you spend all that time talking trash about the guy, and now you've got to play him.
All right, I know the answer before I ask the question, but does it make me a super hater that I'm hung up on the fact that a team with two NBA superstars only won by 2 points in a summer league?
Yeah, it does. I
don't know if
it makes you a super hater. I don't know if it makes you a super hater, but it's just
hater.
Like, who cares? It's like summer league. He's never played with those guys. They've never played with him. It's a summer league game. Like you said, the competition. These aren't chumps out there.
No, they're
these
not chumps.
These
not
are
like
good players.
Us.
And
yeah,
imagine,
I get it.
Like, you're the greatest player in the world, but you're stepping on the court where no one's played with you. Imagine how many LeBron passes just bounced off a guy's hands because they're not used to getting the ball here. Like,
right.
Who would put the ball in my hands? Like,
probably with that much heat, too.
Yeah.
He's got to whip that.
So, no,
nah,
I would say that's not that
all right,
because
that was
deal.
The first thing I thought of. Like, I saw the highlights as it was happening. I did watch a little bit. I think NBA.com NBA.com was kind of live streaming it. Mm-hmm. And it was funny. One guy was just, everyone was standing the whole time, right? Obviously.
It's SRO.
It's in a high school gym. But the camera that NBA.com was using was posted up kind of in the last row. And it was just like this dude head. No, this guy's head was in the middle of the court the whole time. So like they were just kind of doing this with the camera, but it was the back of this guy's head the whole time.
Every now and then the camera, you'll get that shot. If they put the camera in the stand, and you'll get a shot, and it'll be like, wait a minute, somebody just stood up in front of the camera. Like,
they said that people were waiting from 8 a.m. to get into that game. So people were waiting all morning.
And it started at like 2 in the afternoon.
Yeah, 2 or 3, yeah.
So I saw the highlights. Obviously cool, LeBron doing LeBron stuff, kind of what you expect, even though he's going to be 38 or whatever. But I saw the score. I was like, to win by 2.
Especially having DeRozan.
Win by 2? Like, what? Is that a typo?
You have 2 NBA All-Stars in the same team.
That's kind of what I thought. I don't know. And then Skip Bayless, man, just a legend. Like, that guy never quits.
Did you call him a legend? Yeah, legend, I don't know, is a word I would use.
I think he is a legend at this point, just in terms of his absurdity.
Yeah, it's just kind of amusing legend, kind of like.
I don't understand the amusement in that. Like,
You don't think it's funny?
Honest to God, I really, really don't.
But
it's
you
just
know
like,
that he's just doing the thing, you know what I mean? Like, he's got to keep his
character.
But after a while, it's like, okay, you've been doing the thing for 18 years now. The guy is arguably at absolute worst.
He's second.
No, I'm saying at the absolute worst. He is the 15th greatest player. I'm just saying in the history of this earth.
Okay.
He's top 15 ever, right? To ever walk this planet to play basketball, and that might be too low. But I'm just saying, I think it's safe to say.
Sure.
Because we all know there's guys who didn't make the NBA, but you've got a guy who's in the history of mankind. There may be 14 other men or women who played this game better. And all this dude does is just his ridiculous rants and the thing.
I think it's funny. I think it's one of those things, and like it's like a comedy theory. Like when you say a joke, at first it's funny, and then you say the joke over and over again. It's like what Letterman does.
Well,
it's not funny, and then eventually it becomes funny again because it's so ridiculous.
I subscribe to the rule of three there.
Yeah.
After the third time, it's just not like.
No, it's not funny, but then at the 25th time, it becomes funny again. You know what I mean?
Nah, I don't. I mean, I just feel like Skip is ridiculous with his LeBron hate. It's just it's utterly amazing to try to like, and also I've
but
got that, issue.
That's why it's funny to me.
I've got issue with people so always trying to like bring this man down. LeBron has had more pressure on him as an athlete than any other person in the history of the planet when it comes to being visible. When it comes to that time when he became famous and all eyes were on him. We didn't have Michael Jordan at AAU. We didn't have Charles Barkley or Iverson. Right. Everyone in this room has known LeBron since he's 15.
This guy,
the amount of pressure that this guy has to have, not just on the basketball court, but walking down the street and you see a girl in a nice summer dress, you can't even look because all of a sudden now you're going to have all these.
LeBron's
a cheater. Check out the no one's had more pressure than this guy. And this dude has passed each and every test. Like people want to go, well, you can't go to the finals that many times and lose. How many people have gone to 8 finals or 9 finals in a row? Like it doesn't happen. So I defend LeBron a lot because I used to be this way with Kobe because he played for the Lakers. I just like, Kobe, Lakers. But then I got to a point where I was like, man, you love basketball and you are just truly missing out on some great basketball because you're hating a little bit.
I just like Skip's commitment to the bit, though, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think in a weird way, I respect that.
I just don't think I like the guy.
But it's totally fine. I'm not saying I like him at all. But the bit is like, it's just like, man, you're still going on with.
It's beyond
I mean?
Absurd at that point, at this point in time. So that's what makes it funny to me.
It just makes me funny. He's just like crapping on a summer league game that doesn't matter. Like for
by the way, let's give LeBron
like, for what?
He's like,
props.
Almost as terrible tequila. Like he'll go all in.
Let's give LeBron props to not even like acknowledge this jerk off your entire career. It's probably. And I told you guys a story once, like. I was in college. I was playing a Sega baseball game with a guy who was on our school baseball team from Canada. Nice dude. Never talked trash. I'm talking trash when I play video games, right? This dude beat me like 17-0. I just got work, guys. I've never been beaten that bad in a video game in my life. And you know what made me the most mad?
He sat there and didn't say a word to me
the entire time. And I kept looking over him like gritting, like say something. And he wouldn't. He didn't trash talk. He just, and I feel like that must be how Skip feels when LeBron doesn't say anything back. Like
you're just
no acknowledgement.
Begging for a response.
Yeah, just look at me. Call me. Say I suck or something. But no, you're not giving me anything. So I feel like maybe that's. But Skip doesn't stop. He keeps doing it. So.
Same energy.
Look, Chris and Adam, Skip Bayless makes $8 million a year doing that, and I don't. So maybe I should apply and use maybe what right? works for him because, you know, I'd like to make $8 million a year some point. So
anyway, that's kind of what's going on in the league as we sit and wait to see if Kyrie's going to get moved.
Kyrie.
Kevin Durant's going to get moved.
Neither one of them are getting moved like I tried to tell you guys.
I don't know.
It's not happening.
I think you might be right. There was, some report that said the team's kind of bracing for Kyrie to return because there's just kind of been no movement. I kind of thought the Drew League thing that him possibly playing was like a way for him and LeBron to kind of meet up and talk and have a powwow. But doesn't seem like that might be the case. So before we get out of here, I just saw a few things on StatMuse, which kind of made
I like this one you sent yesterday.
Well, kind of maybe. There's actually two of them. They did two good ones. They're kind of using our game that we do in the big show, Start Bench Cut. And I saw there were two of them. What was the one that I sent you guys? There was one
to start bench cut was Luka, Giannis.
Oh, yeah, the one that I sent you. So it's start bench cut heading into this season. So it's heading into this season. Who you got? Start bench cut. Steph, Giannis, Luka.
This was actually easy for me when you said
easy
it.
For you?
That's very hard for me. You go first then.
Well, I just look at it this way.
Okay, you go then.
One player's never led his team to a championship.
Okay.
So if we're playing start bench cut rules,
okay.
then that's easy for me. I'm gonna.
But
cut.
This is heading into the season.
I get it.
Okay.
But that just going by that, then I got to cut Luka.
Oh God. Okay.
I'm going to sit Steph. I'm going to start Giannis. Just based on that factor.
You're going to sit Steph and you're going to start Giannis heading into this season. I actually think that you're right.
What?
I know that really hurt me to say. Let's talk this out.
That's the only otherwise.
Now what is our criteria here? Is it like who we think has the best chance to win the title, start bench cut, or just like player we're taking?
Like MVP or
they didn't really say it.
They literally just said coming into this season, start bench cut. I think if Chris Middleton doesn't get hurt, I think I'm far removed enough from the finals to say honestly the Bucks probably win the title.
Mm-hmm.
Steph was the MVP of the season for the first 30 games last year, something like that.
Yeah, he balled it first.
And obviously I love Luka. He's a walking, he's going to be a super duper star when it's all said and done. I think he will win a title, but I don't think the Mavs are set up to win a title coming into the season. I think you're right. I think it's Giannis. Steph is still at the top of his game. And then Luka still needs some better teammates if we're basing it on title, Adam.
Yeah, I'll go start Steph just because he's the defending champ.
Okay.
I'll accept that.
Yeah.
They have pretty much their core coming back.
Plus Wiseman,
plus an improved Kuminga and Moody. So, yeah, I'll go start Steph. He just, the way he ended the season was just
ridiculous.
It was so ridiculous.
It's so crazy.
He tore the Celtics up. So I'm going to go start Steph. I'm going to go bench Giannis. Giannis, he'll have a bounce back year. I could see the Bucks in the finals.
Did you say bounce back?
More the team, I guess. I think that if they're healthy, the Bucks will win the East. And Giannis, another 30-14 season, whatever.
That's
easy work for him.
That's simple.
Yeah, we take it for granted.
It's so ridiculous, man.
We legit take it for granted.
I wonder if we're going to get to the point where this might be blasphemous, but we got with Mike where Mike was the best player every year, right? So mm-hmm. You can make a case he should have been MVP every single year. Are we going to get that way with Giannis where it's just he's going to throw up some 34-16 and 5 block season, and we're just going to be but I think LaMelo Ball's MVP.
Oh, of course.
You know what I mean?
That's what's going to happen.
Well, yeah. Adam predicted LaMelo would be MVP at one point, so.
Or was it me? I think I might have said that.
Oh, was it you?
I think I might have said that.
I know one of you think.
I believe
guys
that. I actually do believe that.
I think LaMelo's awesome. I think LaMelo's awesome, but. Yeah, I'm just saying, are we going to get to the point where we're just taking Giannis's greatness for granted?
Yeah, I think we already are.
Yeah, we already do.
It's already because I expect 28. I expect 14. I expect two blocks.
Yeah.
I expect somebody to get locked down. I expect two highlight dunks. I expect two highlight defensive plays. Like, yeah. Like, he's going to become a prisoner of his own success because he's so good that we're going to be like, yeah, I expect it, instead of going, wow, you know, that's really tough to do every night.
And I think people at some point, if the Bucks don't win next year, they're going to demand another championship from Giannis or start to criticize him.
Well, oh, I don't know, Adam, God, because Adam, think about this. I don't think Milwaukee fans, those type of fans will. I think
I think they're good.
The rest of the, like, but yeah. No one up there, no team. I think you got them a championship. I think you're good for that fan base for the next 10 years.
I mean, more like the media and other fans.
You're right. Yeah. Now, people who maybe not, don't matter to that story will say that. You're absolutely right. But I think fans of the Bucks, everyone in Wisconsin and up there, they're good.
They're good, imagine. For sure. They were so nervous he was going to leave them.
Yeah, and we all thought he would.
Yeah, if they didn't win that championship, he might have been gone. And the fact that they won the championship and he's there,
remember, the coach
I thought he was going to end up in Golden State or something, you know?
Yeah. We thought the coach was going to get fired. Yep. We thought everything was going to go bad. So
I still don't think Coach Bud's a good coach. I think he's kind of like the Mike McCarthy of like the
Well,
NBA.
If he gets one more, then you got to take him off the schneid.
I got to respect him.
All right, the other thing I sent you guys, which I thought was pretty funny, on First Takes Instagram yesterday, Kendrick Perkins and Mad Dog were talking about Steph Curry with Molly, because obviously Steph's hosting the ESPYs.
Can I just give a shout out to Molly?
Sure.
Hey, Molly, what's up?
Sure. Shout out Molly Karam. Yeah. Has Steph surpassed Kobe all time? And I notice I didn't vote on it before I sent it to you guys. I like saved it because I wanted us to just talk about it.
You know, guys, I gotta be honest.
It just depends where you put Kobe, right? I know you hate.
I'm really having, because it's so tough. Because how can you really say that? Like,
I don't know.
I don't. When you're that good, obviously, I can say that Steph has surpassed Michael Cooper. Right?
Right.
I can say that Steph has surpassed Joe. I'm just saying. I'm like, great players. But you could say, like, Joe Dumars was a great player. Steph's better. Yeah. But when you get into that upper 1%, like, of the 1% echelon, it's like moving parts around. If I put you at 10 and you have a guy at 3, it's very easy to switch those around. Like, so, I don't know. Has he surpassed Kobe in what way?
Just all-time greatness. You know what? I'll take you off the hook and I'll say. I'm going to say no. If you look at the accolades, right? First off, Kobe, two-time finals MVP, right? It was a big deal that Steph finally got his first.
Yeah.
And the other thing that kind of separates, I think, for me, like two-time MVP, Kobe was only MVP once of the regular season, okay? But defensively, Kobe's a 12-time all-defensive player.
It's a difference, yeah.
That guy was going to lock you down, and he was going to take it personally.
And he was still going to get 28 on you.
They weren't going to get yours. And then he was going to do it on the other end. This wasn't like a Bruce Bowen situation or Patrick Beverley where he's just going to shut you down defensively.
But only give you 6.
Exactly. He's going to shut you down, and then he's going to get 34 on the other end, and he's going to let you know about it. Whereas Steph Curry,
by the way,
has
a
never
better
been
defender than we give a lot better defender than we give him credit
he's
for.
He's improved for sure over
but,
the last few years.
For sure. But he's never made an all-defensive team. He's never made an all-defensive team. He's been an all-NBA player 8 times. Obviously, mad respect.
Greatest shooter of all time.
Shooter of all time. The back-to-back MVPs, I think that's a huge deal. All-star game MVPs, obviously, whatever. That 12-time all-defensive team for me, I think, just keeps Kobe ahead of him. Also, 5 titles, sure. 2-time finals MVP and the 12-time all-defensive. Whether you put Steph in your top 10 or not, totally fine. If you want to have Steph 10, have him 9, but Kobe better be that one slot ahead of him.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I believe that Steph has had a greater impact on the culture of basketball in terms of the way the game is played with everybody shooting threes. But in terms of an overall player, Kobe is better. I just can't see how there would be an argument that he's not better than Steph with the overall game, like you say, with the defense. That's just such a huge.
And that is not taking a single thing away from Steph.
No, exactly. We're not taking Steph down at all. I'm just saying, like, just that little part of Kobe, little big deal, part of Kobe's game just keeps him ahead of him for now.
Yeah, I couldn't agree. I mean,
look, if Steph could rattle off
Steph wants three more rings.
Exactly.
And it's a different
exactly.
But he's never getting 12 all Ds. Oh.
Hey now. Hey now.
Pause.
Hey now. Hey now.
He's not getting 12 all defensive team. No,
but look, you're right. If look, Steph plays six more years and the Warriors somehow win two more titles and he's wins finals MVP mm-hmm. both times. Damn,
which he'll have to do.
We are really going to have a real conversation about whether he is past Kobe Bryant all time, because that would be six titles overall, ties him with Mike. That'd be three finals MVPs, and whew, oh my Lord, we would really have to have a conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
You know?
All right. I mean, you know, for as much as I say I don't like this, but I do love it, because I love Bat, and I do love the comparison. I just feel like it's just so hard to really, like, if we each can put a top 10 list, right? And they're all going to be different, but they're all going to be right. Because
that's how we feel. That's how we're viewing the game.
Because, like I said, if you have Akeem in your top 10 and someone else has Moses Malone or something, like, yeah, all these guys are the top of the top. So, I don't know. I'm very conflicted with these.
All right, here we go.
Lists,
now here's one for you. We could get out on this. Down to
Steph.
Game 7 NBA Finals.
Kareem.
Ball at the top of the key.
Kareem.
It's Kobe or Steph.
Oh.
Who do you want taking the last shot for your life?
For my life? Steph.
Really?
Yeah.
I know there's been some...
I think I go Kobe. You go Kobe? I don't know.
Yeah, I got to go. Like, if I need one shot to go... Steph is one of maybe five people I'd be comfortable with my life with in that moment.
I mean...
But nobody, here's the thing, nobody wants that moment more than, Steph might be able to make the shot. I'm not doubting that.
Well, Kobe wants it for sure.
Kobe wants it. He wants that situation. He wants the ball. He wants the team just to be down just so he can take a shot like that to potentially tie the game or win it or send it to the line. And one, elbow jumper, fadeaway, and one, bucket.
Yeah, Steph doesn't have too many game-winning shots, does he? I know he has a few, but nothing like a crazy amount.
I don't know, nothing wild really sticks out.
But I just think Steph is such a great shooter that for my life on the line, it's Kobe obviously was a really good shooter, but not like Steph. I'm going Steph. I just trust him.
You know what's kind of crazy though?
Kobe Bryant has missed 13,766 shots. Are you gonna want? You want to go with that?
How many shots has Steph missed?
Not that. Kobe's missed the most shots in the history of the NBA.
He's probably taken the most, right?
No.
That's like the Jordan commercial. Remember that?
Yeah.
Where he talks about, I've missed 26 shots or whatever, missed all these field goals, and that's why I succeed.
He's missed 13,766 shots on 25,087 attempts.
You know what it's like? It's like Brett Favre. I was like, Brett Favre, you have the most interceptions in the history of the NFL. He's like... I took the most chances.
Yeah, I mean. you know what by I mean? The way, Kobe was never there. Wasn't a shot that he was afraid to take. That's for sure. And that says a lot, guys. Cause I remember there were times when, like, when I was younger and balling, I would get shook in the sense that, like, I knew I was always out there to rebound and play defense. But if I missed like two shots in the first quarter, here's the deal: you could bet that TJ was probably, unless I had a fast break layup, I'm not shooting again the rest of the game because I wasn't a shooter. Like, that wasn't my thing. Like, and then I get like nervous because I missed and I would just try to compensate. All right, let me play harder defense. Let me rebound. But I don't want to be taking like any more 15 footers because it became a point of like, I'm embarrassed that I missed a shot. If you're a true shooter, you're not going to be embarrassed.
Man, I tell you,
I never
cared about missing.
See, and I did.
That's
never
the mentality cared. You need to have.
Yo, I could be 0 for 10, and guess what? I'm jacking up the next 10.
See, I always say this, too, and I think Kobe may have said this about something like, you'll never see me go, you might see me go like 2 for 19, but you'll never see me go 1 for 8.
Right.
I was that guy for a minute who was like, I'd rather go 0 for 2 than 1 for 10. Like, I'm just not going to keep shooting
the ball. You know what's crazy, too? Like, Kobe... You talk about Steph, right? Steph has that sidestep, the step back that everyone does now in the NBA. Mm-hmm. That wasn't really what around during COVID. No one was doing step back threes. No one was doing that side dribble, side step.
Well, that was
three.
More Harden.
Nobody was doing that.
I kind of attribute that more so to Harden than Steph.
No, I'm just saying Steph has that in his game where like if
that
he
wasn't
need,
a thing, yeah.
It wasn't a thing during kind of Kobe's heyday.
It's pretty unbelievable to watch that.
Eurosteps wasn't evolution. A thing for a while.
Not really. I mean, yeah. I mean, we had Ginobili, but now it's just common. It's just a common mm-hmm. move for people when it yeah. really wasn't back then.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy to see the evolution. Like, I saw this clip on Instagram of these, like, literally 10-year-old kids doing, like, Eurosteps.
Working on Eurosteps.
And step backs. Yeah. I'm just like, this was not a thing when I was growing up.
That's really wild.
Well, Chris, you know, when Ben was here, Lyons was here last week, we were talking about that, and he was saying, like, you know, he's
camp that he worked at.
Working at a camp. Yeah. And he's like, let me tell you what you never saw when we were kids. Kids doing Eurosteps. He
That's
goes,
what I was saying.
Every single kid in that camp was Eurostep.
Yo, our camps, basketball camps growing up, it was use your pivot foot.
Right.
Up and under. Jump
handed chest pass.
Yeah. Like, yeah. like, what?
Here's a bounce pass for you.
And these kids are learning, you know, step backs
step
and
back,
side steps
yeah.
and Euros. It's like, it's just a
that's
different.
Why, that's why in 10 years from now, the NBA will be even more talented.
Yeah,
these
game,
kids coming
yeah,
up.
There's so much.
Hope so.
All right, let's get out of here on this. One last start bench cut I saw from StatMuse. This is a good one, man. Coming into this season, who do you want? Start bench cut, KD, Kawhi, LeBron.
I'll go last on this one. I got to think about it.
KD, Kawhi,
LeBron. I think we're out of
LeBron.
Time. I think we're out of time
out
for the
time?
Show. Yeah, sorry. We're going to have to get back to you guys next
Two
week.
Two more minutes. Two more minutes, Adam. Come on. KD, Kawhi, LeBron, coming into this year. Who you got?
Listen, he's been out for a year. He's your guy, TJ. He could lead you to the promised land.
And he has.
And he has.
Twice.
He's had plenty of time to rest.
You're going to start Kawhi?
I'm going starting Kawhi.
Oh.
I'm starting Kawhi Leonard. I think Kawhi Leonard is due for a monster season this year.
Wow.
Bounce back season.
Wow.
He's had, all this time to rehab. He's ready to go.
Plus,
he's ready to prove himself
Adam,
again.
Did you see him and Uncle Dennis in China? They're over there eating, like, making Chinese food and wearing New Balance.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, I'll pull the video up for you. It's amazing. It's amazing. Kawhi's acting like Salt Bae, putting salt on stuff. It's
Kawhi's
great.
Low-key funny also.
Well, wow. He's a fun guy, Adam. Come on.
He is a fun guy, yeah.
All right, I'm going to complete
and
opposite.
And then I'm going,
okay, yeah.
wait, let me finish. Then I'll do KD second, and then I'm cutting LeBron.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm doing. I'm doing the same way. I'm cutting LeBron heading into this year because I just don't think the Lakers are going to win the championship. It's no dice. I'm starting Kevin Durant. He's still the best player in the world, in my opinion. So I'm going to start Kevin Durant, and I'm going to bench Kawhi because I think low key the Clippers might be top four in the West. I think it might be your time, TJ.
Man,
all right, finish strong. We got to get out of here.
The only reason I would cut Kawhi. Is because I know Kawhi ain't playing 82. Hell, I know Kawhi ain't playing 72. So that might be the only reason for me to go, I'd cut him just strictly because I know he's going to take a lot of rest. He's going to ball. He ain't playing 82. I can't cut LeBron James, man. I can't.
What do you mean?
Why not? He's getting old.
He's going to be 38 on a bad
yeah,
team.
And he still averaged 28 a game last year.
I know. He was actually
so
awesome last year.
Okay, you guys are going to...
You're going to cut Kevin Durant?
No.
Are you just going to cut nobody?
No, I'm going to cut one of them.
You're going to cut Kawhi?
I think so.
Oh, my God.
That is a self-defeating bad
off,
attitude.
First
that
off,
is your Clipper PTSD.
You leave,
the best
you leave
of
Dallas
you.
Out of your top 10
uh-huh.
If teams
I'm trying
in the NFL
something new.
That we
I'm
did
trying
last
something
week,
new.
And now you're cutting your favorite player.
Well, here's the deal. I explained to you, I'm only cutting him strictly because I know he's probably going to log the least amount of regular season game time next year. So I'll cut Kawhi. I'll bench LeBron. I'll start KD.
I don't even know what to say. We just got to end the podcast.
You
got to
hurt my heart.
We just got to end it on that. Man, these are fun. These are fun. So we'll do
There was nothing
we'll
fun about
some
that.
More. We'll do some more of these. By the way, leave yours in the comments. Leave yours in the comments.
Yeah, for sure.
Your start bench cuts, and we'll do some more of these next week. Hopefully, we got some other news too.
Also, in the comments, if you guys have any topic suggestions for
yeah.
the pod, hit us up.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. What do you want to?
But like DMX said, don't come at me with no bleep bleep. Use caution. All right, make them good. Make them good.
We love you guys. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. We will see you next week. Adam and TJ, we out.
Peace.